News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. 251-343-0106. The text line has been pretty active this morning, but feel free to use that to call if you like as well. You can be part of the show. Don't have a problem with that. Okay, so the House bill, is it bill or bills?
Bills that will become a bill and okay. Then head to the Senate.
So that's probably going to be ready for Biden's desk tomorrow, I think, is what they're thinking.
It'll be in the Senate tomorrow. We don't know the timeline then, depending on how much pushback there is from the Senate. But remember, the Senate initially passed a bill that made its way to the House, and then with some House changes and separately voting on these bills, now it heads back to the Senate. There are some Republicans who at least appear going in to be against it, or at the very least, the way that Johnson went about it in the House, including Tuberville from Alabama.
You know, it's interesting in this thing, the way that this is all kind of evolving. First of all, it took 6 months to get it done, right? About 6 months from when the time President Biden, he asked for it, I think that was 6 months ago.
It's been a while.
So you have, and since then you've got what's going on in Gaza, and you have many Democrats who have soured on funding Israel. True?
Yes, they were expecting more pushback on the Israel bill from Democrats and more pushback on the Ukraine bill from Republicans.
Yeah. So it's like the Democrats were seeing this, at least this faction of the Democratic Party, they're in many, many ways, they're showing their displeasure with what Israel's doing and any support that we're giving them.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just, when did it begin to turn where more Republicans were against funding for Ukraine? Was that a half a year ago? Was that a year ago? What, back in the summer? Or
I think once it looked like there would be absolutely no way for Ukraine to completely push Russia back into Russia, to quote unquote win. And once they started seeing that there would be no action taken on strengthening the U.S.-Mexican border, then that was kind of their ace in the hole.
Yeah,
that was what the Republicans were supposed to be using as leverage. Hey, we understand if you don't want to do anything with the border, but in the meantime, we're not going to send any more money overseas until you figure it out. And what we found out is what we've found out a million times before, is that the Democrats, maybe they just have a stronger constitution in staying. And I shouldn't use the word constitution here. Like Ted Cruz said, this was a bad weekend and bad week for the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't fold. The Democrats didn't fold on the border. And depending on how you look at it, you could say Mike Johnson and many Republicans did fold on this aid package over the weekend.
And where, of all these, TikTok got voted for them to ban TikTok, right?
China, not quite. So
close.
They're basically asking China to divest themselves of TikTok,
okay.
A.K.A. sell the app.
Yeah.
And we already saw who was lining up to buy TikTok, Steve Mnuchin being kind of the ringleader of at least one of those factions who wants to purchase the app. So they're saying TikTok will stick around as long as China gets rid of their access or control over it.
And why would China do that?
I don't know. Why would they do that?
I don't know. That's like
maybe in the bill there's more pushback saying, hey, if you don't do this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, you're telling basically the Chinese government because they're, it's China. It's not like independently run by Hal, who's out of China. He's this businessman who's done so well for himself. That's not what's going on here.
You're saying sell us, the American government saying, sell us the best performing app right now.
Yeah.
Because
don't buy your government.
Right.
Basically.
Yeah. And so
run by your government.
That's us being quote unquote tough on China, right?
Yeah. I don't see, could China say to Meta or Google or whatever, like, hey, man, we're not digging what's going on here. So they couldn't make that demand to be laughed at.
Well, they've made a bunch of demands of Meta and Google, and Meta and Google bow every time. They say, okay, you don't want this in the app? Whoop, that's gone. All they want to do is be in China because there's such a large population there. And so they're willing to do whatever China asks them to do.
Hmm.
But we'll see what
like
comes
Nike?
From the TikTok thing. Yeah, just like any American corporation.
Making big money in China.
Making big money in China. They'll do what China asks them to do. But I think the more divisive part of this is the funding that is going to Ukraine and Israel for the same reasons you mentioned earlier, because certain people on both sides are against furthering that aid. And I don't think it's necessarily that clean cut. I think what a lot of Republicans are wanting to know about Ukraine specifically is, what's the plan? I haven't heard the Biden administration say, this is the plan. I'll play Zelensky here in a minute. He was asked, what's your plan? And he basically said, I don't know. We'll got to wait and see. Once we get these weapons, then I'll be able to give you a better timeline.
I'll tell you what Zelensky reminds me of is an artist who had big hits on the radio, and it's a must-see show, and his tickets are selling out everywhere. And this was Zelensky when the war started. Remember, he'd come over here like a rock star. He would fill the halls.
Wasn't he on the Grammys or something like that?
Yeah,
he videoed in.
Yeah.
He was on all the award shows.
Yep. And in D.C., you know, he held. And then years later, no hits on the radio for a number of years. And you can see him at one of the corner mini stages at Bayfest. I saw that Christopher Cross was so hot in the early 80s, and I saw him playing in front of 12 people at Bayfest.
Yeah.
Not the main stage. And in a way, Zelensky has become that. It's, you know, he's not that, and a lot, not only less popular, Dalton, but just basically the whole war effort and the funding of it is less politically popular.
It is. And it really does appear that once Russia came in like a bolt of lightning, tried to take Kiev, and were pushed out of Kiev, that was when Ukraine had their most strength in negotiation. And there was a report out over the weekend that kind of went into detail what that, at least the starting point from that deal between Russia and Ukraine would look like. And they were in a much better place than if they were to try to strike a deal today.
Yeah.
And according to numerous reports, it was Boris Johnson, the then PM of UK, of England.
And Biden.
And Biden that kind of quashed that. And they're like, no, we can push them all the way back out. And since then, hundreds of thousands of more Ukrainians have died. And plenty of Russians have died. And many civilians have died as well.
Many weapons have been sold.
There's never been a full accounting. And not that you can get down to the exact penny when you're dealing with this kind of money and sending it that far away. But that seemed to me to be a pretty simple request. Why don't you tell us where this money has gone that we've already sent to Ukraine and give us your plan for bringing peace and finding a way to have people stop being killed using, you know, in many cases, a lot of U.S. money and weaponry. So this bill, $60.8 billion in aid for Ukraine. And a lot of that, and they said this the last time they passed a big spending bill for Ukraine, a lot of that will be spent on American weapons stocks because we're sending so many weapons over there.
And Johnson pointed that out. It doesn't seem to soften the argument a little bit, but yeah, he pointed that out.
$23 billion of the $60 billion will replenish U.S. weapons stocks with better equipment than what America has given to Ukraine. Another $11 billion marked for U.S. troops in Europe for ship and aircraft maintenance and more. They're floating this thing like, and it was, they said Trump's idea when he met with Johnson a couple weeks ago, that they wanted to give it in a form of a loan, some of this funding to Ukraine, rather than just handing it over. And some of the Republicans are trying to spin it that way, like, yeah, it's $10 billion in a loan. But even you read the articles and say it's a loan that's not likely to be paid back.
Sure, yeah. You can call it a loan.
And Biden can do what his favorite thing to do is, which is to completely absolve them of that loan, just like he's doing with a lot of the student aid bills, too. So this was just a week ago, Johnson talking about border security and what he feels the Republicans in the House have done to try to strengthen border security, and kind of putting it off on the Democrats for nothing getting done.
We have been fighting on the border. We fight on it every day. We passed our comprehensive border security package, HR 2, at the very beginning of this Congress. It's been sitting on Chuck Schumer's desk. We passed all the resolutions. We passed these acts out of the House, and they get stopped in the Senate.
And that was one of the main contentions that Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, a lot of these people on the right had with Johnson kind of, well, he no kind of about it. He worked with Democrats to get this aid bill past the finish line. Here is Marjorie Taylor Greene on Fox News yesterday talking about the betrayal.
The people are fed up. Last Monday was tax day, April 15th. And Washington betrayed the American people by sending $93 billion to support foreign wars while doing nothing, absolutely nothing, to secure our border. That is a complete betrayal. All of this was possible because of the betrayals of Mike Johnson. He has completely betrayed the Republican Party. He has completely betrayed Republican voters all over the country. And he is absolutely working for the Democrats, passing the Biden administration's agenda. So this is a speakership that is completely over with. It's only Mike Johnson is the one that's trying to hang on to it and is in complete denial.
As she later in that interview with Maria Bartiromo said, Johnson, he should resign. She's acting like she'll still call for him to be removed by vote. But from everything I'm reading, it seems less and less likely, especially since they adjourned after the vote on Saturday.
Who's joining her? And I don't think Gaetz is in there.
Gaetz is in there.
He's in there. Okay.
Yeah. You got MTG, you got Gaetz, and then one other congressman joined them this weekend. I can't recall his name.
Okay.
But so you've got three now at a minimum that would do that. Ted Cruz, he was also on Fox News yesterday. He spoke a little bit about this Ukraine bill and trying to put it in a better light, I think.
The Ukraine funding of the $48 billion, roughly $35 billion of it, is directed to the U.S. military. I think that is a good thing.
Yeah.
And a portion of it is also structured as a loan. That is a good thing. I wish this were directed at only military aid and not economic aid. Unfortunately, there's about $10 billion of economic aid as a forgivable loan. I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah.
So it's interesting how the Alabama votes broke out as well. And by the way, there were 14 Republicans who voted against all of the bills. That'd be Andy Biggs from Arizona, Lauren Boebert from Colorado, Georgia's Andrew Clyde, Arizona's Elijah Crane, Gaetz from Florida, Virginia's Bob Good, Arizona's Paul Gosar. I think he's the third who said he would join in getting Johnson out of there as House Speaker. Marjorie Taylor Greene and Andy Harris from Maryland. Also Thomas Massey from Kentucky, Texas's Troy Nels, South Carolina's Ralph Norman, Matt Rosendale from Montana, and Chip Roy from Texas. For the Alabama delegation, Taiwan aid, Congressman Barry Moore was the only one to vote no on that. For the Ukraine aid, you had Moore, Jerry Carl. I'd love to hear Jerry talk about that vote. Mm-hmm. Dale Strong and Gary Palmer, they all voted no for Ukraine aid. Mike Rogers, Robert Adderholt, and Terry Sewell voted yes. And then all seven delegates voted yes on the bundle of Israel aid and humanitarian assistance for the Middle East.
Tupperville and Katie Britt differed on
the FISA bill.
So
the FISA bill, that advanced through the Senate on Friday, just after midnight, when the deadline, the quote-unquote deadline, had came and went, although that doesn't necessarily seem to be the case, that there was a hard deadline there. Tupperville voted no on renewing FISA. Katie Britt voted yes.
And FISA actually was not a post-9/11 enactment. It was back in the late 70s, right?
78 is when FISA, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, originally passed. And at that point, according to this Matthew Waxman and Adam Klein, Waxman was on the George W. Bush administration.
Yeah.
So FISA originally passed in 78, demanding that investigators gain an order from a special court to surveil foreign agents inside the United States, and collecting the communications of foreigners abroad did not require court approval.
And I wonder if that was even a big story back then. That would have been during Carter.
Yeah,
Carter
it'd
was
be interesting
in
to look
76,
back.
And you'd be, what the news of the day was, that a major headline in the day?
Maybe, but there were so many fewer modes of media back then that if they didn't want it to be a big conversation, maybe it wasn't.
Right.
Of course, online changes things, right?
So that was in the late 2000s when they adjusted FISA to protect online as well?
Right. In 2008, they added Section 702, which was one of the big sticking points here for a lot of Republicans and Democrats, actually. With that, after that passed in 08, instead of requiring the government to seek court orders for each foreign target, It requires yearly judicial approval of the rules that govern the program as a whole. They said, and these are people speaking pro-FISA, since then Section 702 has supplied extraordinary insight into foreign dangers, including military threats, theft of American trade secrets, terrorism, hacking, and fentanyl trafficking. They tried to pass a couple of amendments to this on late Friday night into Saturday morning, and neither amendment made it through. Maybe we can go into more detail on that as we move forward. Okay. But it's that situation, and I always forget what the saying is, but it's... You either you give up your freedom for security, right? Mm-hmm. Someone's going to give me the assist on the text line with the exact quote, but do you want freedom? Yep. Do you want people not looking at you and seeing what's going on, or do you want security? And we see a lot of politicians choosing security over freedom.
And a lot of people, citizens, feel the other way.
Yeah, often. For sure.
It is 8:22 with Dan and Dalton. This- Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. It is 8:26, and it's going to be a very pleasant, not just a pleasant day today. We'll get a low 70s maybe, but the whole week looks like a smashing success.
It does, yeah. And you're going to feel really good the next few days before we start turning the heat back up. And then summer.
Yeah, here it comes. Like I say, these varying degrees... Is wide. It was 40 this morning in
Mount Vernon.
Mount Vernon, and 60 in I think Fort Morgan, something like that.
Yeah, big discrepancy.
But
there.
These wild changes in the weather, we'll be missing them soon because there is little variation once we get to the middle of May.
Yeah, that's for sure. Looking at the text line, and you can join us on that text line, 251-343-0106. Jason says, good morning, guys. The House members waving Ukraine flags on the floor was sickening to watch. Any that participated in that should have a political target on their back. It just seems that there are more people in Congress that care more about other countries than they do America. Can you imagine if the Democrats were all standing there in the House chambers waving an American flag? When's the last time that happened, that they were all standing up and cheering for America? And Mike Johnson did mention that during his moment with the press afterwards. He said there's only one flag that should be flying here at the House. I've seen congressmen, wearing Israeli IDF military uniforms. Mm-hmm. I've seen people waving Ukrainian flags. They don't seem to have the same love for this country that they supposedly represent. And it feels like a needle in the eye of a lot of Americans, even if those Americans do agree that we need to, in some form or fashion, be helping out Ukraine or Israel in one way or another. They don't seem to be voting for the will of the people.
Well, when it comes to the border, actions speak louder than words, right? And Mayorkas, Republicans have tried to pressure him, I guess, into action. Biden seems to have smelled the coffee here a little late in the game.
He's got the election coming up.
Yep. And you've got these stories of illegals that are ruining neighborhoods, basically, mm-hmm. up in New York City.
Yeah, and taking over, a schoolhouse or something that they're moving a lot of these illegal minors into. And I think I'll have to go through some of those stories. But
a lot of it
right.
is in AOC's district.
Yeah. Pat says, these people cannot be this stupid. Russia won't pay us a dime after helping Ukraine all this time. Why is our government so delusional? And Joel says, it's not going to matter if Ukraine bombs inside Russia. What are we doing? We keep sending money. It's ridiculous. United States is going to go bankrupt. Well, I don't know. We'll see. And Zelensky, she asked, Kristen Welker asked him yesterday, what's the timeline? How are we going to wrap this thing up? What's your plan? He really didn't have an answer for it, and that seems to be the common thing, whether it's the Biden administration or Zelensky you asked that question of. .35 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings on a Monday. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive, where we talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing great. And a beautiful week on the way here in Mobile, Alabama. And I know over at McConnell, you guys have a lot chock full of new and pre-owned vehicles.
God, well, I know. I'm just sitting there writing them up. want to thank everybody for coming in. We traded in about 8 cars this past weekend. We sold a bunch, and we'll have those running through the shop and have them up on the website, McConnellAutomotive.com. Got a great selection of GM certifieds, GM new cars. Got one 2023 Sierra left. Got $10,000 off that. And like you said, it's going to be a beautiful week. We're going to be here all week long, so come check us out.
Yep, it's that easy. We appreciate it, Louis.
Hey, thank y'all. Come see us.
That's Louis Raddick. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
836, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. All right, the story of the day, for sure, number one in our three big things, even though we've got a former president whose trial starts today. Mm-hmm. On any other given day, that could certainly be story number one. But this is it, and I think the city is witnessing this thing. You know, I can just speak from myself. It's a huge story.
Yeah.
And we're treating it as such, and we're trying to treat it in a way where, you know, let the facts come out, and then we'll react to the facts. Looks like things are going to come to a head one way or another tomorrow. Mobile City Council's got a full slate on the agenda, including two resolutions including concerning embattled Police Chief Paul Prine. One of those is the resolution to allow a third-party investigation into allegations made by Prine after he was placed on administrative leave. We can get into that in a little bit. Now, the other one is a resolution that comes from the mayor, and he's saying you got to get Prine out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you can vote him out right now. Now, here's the question. Chicken or the egg? Which gets voted on first? According to this resolution sponsored by, this says a lot, Council President C.J. Small and Council Member William Carroll. It states that if the council has been tasked with considering a resolution to remove Prine from office, but they feel an investigation is needed to find the truth before making that decision. So you've got two resolutions, one simply saying that the mayor seems to be urging them to do first.
Right.
And that's Prine's out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, if you've written a resolution to investigate Prine's allegations, it would seem to be a little ass backwards,
right?
Doing one before the other.
Would you vote him out before investigating? Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, right?
It doesn't seem to.
But what you do have right now is a city that, there's an acting police chief, Randy Jackson, mm-hmm. right? They're still kind of in limbo, MPD, so that's an argument that the city is making. Let's
move along
with the police department. And Prine has said he's done, right? He mm-hmm. said there's no way we can come back and work together like this. So maybe that will give the council an off-ramp to go ahead and do that, and then the investigation. I don't know.
Okay. So it could, but we've been waiting to see somebody show their cards, and I think that even Bess Rich – on Friday on the Jeff Poor Show said she was concerned that if it's gotten this far, that the mayor may think he's got the supermajority votes to get Prine out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that make a big difference if they're also going to investigate his allegations? He could be gone, but if they still pass his resolution to investigate the administration, it's not going away.
Right. It'll still be a problem.
It could be a problem, depending on what they find.
The mayor's statement, which came out Friday evening, I got the email around 5:09 p.m., he said, over the last 10 days, we've all listened to allegations concerning city officials and their families, false accusations of impropriety, and conspiracy theories. I've watched the negative impact this has had on our community long enough. It's time for the situation to be resolved. At Tuesday's Mobile City Council meeting, we will formally ask council members to resolve this issue. Despite every effort to avoid this path of submitting a resolution to the city council, it seems to be the only option. Under the Zogby Act that established Mobile's current city government, the police chief is one of several positions that can only be appointed or removed with a vote from 5 city council members. Despite taking this action, we are still hopeful to reach a more amicable resolution. Most importantly, these recent events have drastically impacted the morale of the Mobile Police Department and painted the city of Mobile in a negative light. Our officers are among the best in the country. These men and women put their lives on the line to protect this community every day, and they deserve clear leadership without continued distractions. As mayor, my first responsibility is public safety, and it's a responsibility that I take very seriously. He said in a meeting with Council President C.J. Small on Thursday, I agreed some of the recent allegations need to be investigated to bring forward the truth and restore public trust. If they choose to move forward with a third-party investigation, we will do everything to support those efforts. However, for our community to move forward, I would strongly urge the Council to consider Resolution Number 60-373 separately and first.
Get them out.
Right.
Separately and first. Now, one thing that Bess Rich said the other day, and I don't know that it puts the city of Mobile in a bad light. It certainly puts a portion of the government in a bad light. One of the things that Bess Rich said, which seems to be irrefutable at this point, is she talks about the allegations that Prine has made and the way she views them.
And everything so far that Paul has pointed out, has had the opportunity to point out, has been backed up with paperwork and indeed seen as being true.
Now, will city council tomorrow, I mean, you've got one city council member who's already thrown in the towel, and I find that hard to believe it's not related.
Well, August of next year is when
I know
done.
That, but it's kind of like, I will let you know now.
Right.
I'm over all this.
Right. Which would be a wild card, right? Yeah, if someone's on their way out.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't know what they're going to do.
Exactly.
That's Joel Daves, of course, we're talking about.
Yeah,
that.
And I'm not saying anything disparaging about Joel. You know,
Who
wouldn't be tired of it? Now, as far as how will council act tomorrow, if you're looking for some hints, I think that William Carroll pretty much says right here, I don't think we can throw him out until we can't dismiss him until we know the facts of the entire case. All the facts. Here's Carroll.
I can't take a stance without having all the proper information. One side says one thing, the other side says another. So I think that there needs to be somebody that's independent of city government and the council and the mayor's office to actually look into this.
So the table is set.
Mm-hmm.
I would guess there will be a large contingent. Then Prine has like 5,000 Facebook friends.
Is that what the numbers
that are
now?
For his? They're not rallying in big numbers, but they're out there.
And Bess Rich called for that on Friday. She said for people to come out during that council meeting tomorrow. So it's going to be a huge day in all regarding this. I mean, how would you like to be? Sean talks about it every week. You expect this big day at city council, all this back and forth, and there's still people who are just wondering why their driveway hasn't been fixed or mm-hmm. why trash didn't make it through on the day you're supposed to. And you show up, you get your 3 minutes, and you're like, I know you guys are ready to talk about
this
yeah. but I've got my own problems. But
that's a good point.
So they'll have the pre-conference meeting. 9 a.m., is that right, or 8 a.m.?
9:30, something like that, yeah.
And then the Kenyon Brown report, that's coming out tomorrow. So something that only a few people have laid eyes on is that actual report from Kenyon Brown, playing a major role in this.
Playing a major role in it, and that's part of the Prine's findings as well, is that this independent report was going to go to the administration where they would make amendments to it, ship it back to him, and then even in the email that we all have seen now, that was either going to get mitigated or softened or whatever if Prine agreed to the city's...
The NDA, basically. It was non-disparagement.
Right. So and maybe that's business as usual. I don't know. But you're changing the facts to the case, depending on what Prine's reaction was to your deal, that seems, you can't blame Prine for circling that and say, look at this, y'all.
Right.
So it's what council's going to do tomorrow, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a distraction to, I'm more distracted than in any way entertained by all this. This is pretty disturbing. It's just something I'd rather not see the city go through, but now it's hard to run from what's already had the flashlight on it.
That's right. And, if you think that the council is going to cover up for one person or another, it seems to me early on you had Ben Reynolds and Josh Woods when these allegations started flying saying this is something that the council needs to investigate. And then you have these resolutions and C.J. Small and William Carroll with their fingerprints all over this. And the resolutions themselves, I mean, lay out the allegations in a way that you're like, wow, when you put it all like that, this is pretty heavy. And so if this were a council that were covering for the city, for the administration, I don't think they would have laid it all out like that. Maybe they would have. But when you were reading through that this morning, it's pretty damning allegations. Improper administration of MPD, lack of control over the intelligence division, failures or deficiencies in the ShotSpotter program, which NBC 15 is saying will not be renewed. And then that peer review from 321Z Insights, which was maybe the weirdest part of this story, is this company that was
out of the blue,
came out of the blue, gets this $90,000 contract, and then the reports come out that it was actually Levy who wrote the report and had them take a look at it and send it back.
Kind of rubber stamp it, I guess.
That's kind of what the allegations were.
Now, the husband of the woman who runs the company did have past. Worked with the city of Mobile in some ways. So it wasn't, I say out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
But also, one other thing to consider right now is what is the council's relationship with the administration? And if it's a good working relationship, you could have one outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's one that is a strained relationship, you could have a different outcome. And Bess Rich basically said to Jeff Poore, here's what council's task is at this point.
I feel they need to step up to the plate on behalf of citizens on this to get the truth and to get to the bottom of what has happened, because you're talking public safety. You're talking the trust of the citizens for public safety.
Bess Rich is an example of someone who was a council person for a long time. And that working relationship, maybe even personal relationship, she admits it deteriorated as time went on. That she was very enthusiastic about the mayor's arrival and thought he could do so many good things. And I think there are a lot of Sandy Stimson fans in this town for sure. He's done a lot of great stuff. The city is growing in a way that the annexation was able to make it through. That's seems to be critical for the city as it grows. But at the same time, we'll see what happens. And which way council goes here is going to be a big part of the story.
Yeah. Pete texting in. And remember, through all of this, there have been a lot of people on spring break. So all of this going down in the last week and a half, and many of you have been gone.
You've come back to a whole new planet.
I don't know if that's the case here with Pete, but he says, what exactly are these allegations? Have they been published? And pretty much a different allegation every other day coming from Chief Prine regarding how he feels he was forced out and the way that MPD was working with the intelligence division and who may have wanted him out. And his claims, like I mentioned earlier, that the city was more involved in, or at least some of the members of the administration or intelligence department were more involved in these quote-unquote objective third-party reviews than they let on.
Sure.
That's one of the main allegations.
The technology itself, which was, or the information itself, which Prime said he didn't have access to and wondered why that would be.
Right. And then with this Kenyon Brown report, the email that Prime put out there that was very straightforward. One, you accept this deal from the administration. You don't say anything disparaging about us. And in this Kenyon Brown report, we won't say anything disparaging about you. We go our separate ways. You get your severance pay. And option two is you fight this. And in the Kenyon Brown report, it's going to look bad, more or less, for you. And that's pretty much how straightforward that email was. And what Prine said was, if it's an objective third-party report, how are their options for what it ends up being.
Yeah.
Right?
He makes good points in his allegations, and now it's in the administration's court right now, and we'll see what happens tomorrow at City Council, and I'm sure I know they have an all-time attendance record on the books.
Yeah.
This might rival it, though. It's 850 FM Talk 106.5, Dan and Dalton in Mobile Mornings. Morning from Dan and Dalton. We're wrapping things up on your Monday. Mobile, big, big, big news from Mobile International Airport. It comes out of Breeze Airways. Listen up, they're now flying nonstop to Orlando from Mobile and from that international airport, the one just minutes from downtown. And they're making great improvements out there, by the way. Nice, new, nonstop. You're just an hour away from all the fun at the theme parks down in Orlando, so no need to drive 7 or 8 hours to Central Florida, whatever it takes. Maybe with a traffic accident, it takes a lot more than that. Instead, fly on the seriously nice Airbus A220 made right here in Mobile, of course, and start your vacation the moment you take off with Breeze Airways. Book your flights at flybreeze.com. That's flybreeze.com. And flying to Orlando has never been easier, nicer, or more convenient. You can fly down on Wednesday and return on Saturday, or depart on Saturday and come back Wednesday. Your choice. Also, Breeze is now booking through the month of January. Plus, there's absolutely no reason to fly out of Biloxi or Pensacola. Your vacation starts right here in Mobile. Book your nonstop flight today at flybreeze.com. Nice new nonstop to Orlando. That's FlyBreeze.com.
And coming up, the Jeff Poor Show here in just a few minutes. Hour number one, State Representative Shane Stringer joins Jeff. In the second hour, he'll talk with Dale Jackson from WVNN. And in hour number three, Paul DeMarco joins Jeff on the Jeff Poor Show. A lot of texts here regarding our conversation we were having last segment about the big day at City Council tomorrow. Texter here says, I feel like contacting my councilman, Ben Reynolds, and letting him know he better vote on that investigation first and not remove the chief first. Yeah, I'm interested to see how that vote will go and if they hold it tomorrow because, I mean, in all honesty, you've had the mayor who's made it clear that they think Prine needs to be out, but you've had Prine who said there's no way I can go back and work in this, basically, this environment is too heated now. There's no way we could work along together. But I would imagine it's a better look on your resume to not be voted out by a supermajority of the Mobile City Council. So
yeah,
it's going to happen one way or the other. It's just how does it happen, right?
Right.
Jason says, Josh Woods, is he willing to come on and talk about this? Yeah, we're going to see, and whether it's Jeff Poor Show, Midday, or our show right here, tomorrow's the big day. So we'll do our best to try to get some of these council members on to tell us what they found tomorrow and what comes next.
Well, it's all going to happen. You know, I mean, just hang on. We'll know in more than 24 hours, I guess, 30 hours from right now.
We hope. We hope we'll know, right?
Could we not have some sort of either they're going to vote him out before the other resolution is voted on, or they're not.
Mm. Tim says, I'm wondering, I think the state district attorney needs to take this over. Pete says, still sounds like personal and procedural differences. I've always thought Prine to be upstanding, but this sounds like disagreements about how to run things. I think that was the crux of it, Pete, for sure, was who's in charge. And how do you avoid that when you have past police chiefs on the same administration as your current police chief?
Seems like that's part of the matter right there. It is 8:59. Dan and Dalton wrapping it up, and we'll see you again in the morning beginning at 6 a.m.